So, good to see you all this morning. Just double checking that those speakers are working. Is that okay?
Yeah.
Wonderful. And so, to begin with today, I'm going to talk through the first foundation in some detail, so I'll speak about this and then we'll have our practice after that. But so again, a reminder that the structure of this retreat reflects this ancient teaching called the ways of establishing mindfulness, or the foundations of mindfulness. It's called the Satipatthana Sutta in the Buddhist scriptures. And these four ways of establishing mindfulness, you can see, are also very directly reflected in the structures of MBSR and MBCT. So it's a very significant teaching, both for insight meditation practice and Dharma practice, and also for the mindfulness-based approaches. And you see in both this foundation of mindfulness of body, that's the first foundation of mindfulness, from which we then are able to become aware of other aspects of our experience, aware of our relationship to the pleasant and the unpleasant, aware of our states of mind and all of the different patterns in the mind and ways in which we can see those more clearly, understand what frees the mind, what leads to distress. So, and again, you really can see how, when you hear this teaching, how much it has influenced the mindfulness-based approaches. If you think of MBCT, for instance, and this central part of MBCT, that thoughts are not facts, it's always interesting to notice that you don't start with that in week one. MBCT is starting with the body scan and the raisin exercise, and do some movement, mindful movement, feeling the breath in the body. So all of these practices that are about establishing this awareness in the body are then a foundation from which we can be aware of thoughts and feelings in a different way. And that way of practicing really reflects this Dharma teaching. So in these morning times, we'll explore different ways of establishing mindfulness, or different foundations. So today is the body. And the first thing I wanted to say about mindfulness of body is that it can be a kind of refuge. The body can be a kind of refuge for us. So sometimes we find ourselves worrying about things. And if you notice that experience, we find ourselves worrying about things. And I use those words very deliberately. I don't think it's likely that we decide to worry. If you've got up one morning and think, right, I tell you what I'm going to do for the first half an hour. I'm going to just churn over everything in my mind that might go wrong, or has gone wrong, or could go wrong. We don't think, oh, that's a really great way to start the day. But it's a kind of pattern that's running in the background, yeah, that these thoughts can be there. It's something we find ourselves doing. And we know that simply pushing those thoughts away, or trying not to think those things, these aren't such helpful ways of responding to this. But what really can be helpful is to choose to deliberately place the attention somewhere else, withdrawing the attention from that, deliberately placing the attention somewhere else. And the body is such a skillful way to do that. So when you find yourself worrying, for instance, you can feel your feet on the floor. You can feel the breath in the body. Is that question you can even ask yourself with a certain amount of strength to it. You know, what's happening now? What's happening now? What's happening now? And that can be very helpful in freeing ourselves from just being pulled again to patterns of worry and rumination. So mindfulness of body is an antidote to those times we find ourselves living inside our heads, when we find ourselves lost in thought. Yeah? And you could see a significant amount of our practice about this journey from being lost in thought to coming home to the body. And as I mentioned a little while ago, again, we can really see the body as the ground from which we can be aware of other aspects of our experience in a different way, in a different way. I think it's quite challenging to simply take a different perspective on thoughts without first really finding this ground in the body. It's also a way in which we can find wise responses. Mindfulness of the body helps us to do that. I heard a story some years ago of someone who was working in a shop, and there was a customer who was behaving in a way that they needed to ask this person to leave the shop, which is obviously a difficult thing to do. But he said, "Oh yeah, I just really dropped my attention down in the body, into the legs, into the feet, felt the feet on the ground, and from there was able to say, you know, clearly, but also kindly, that this person needed to leave now." Yeah. But that kind of kind, clear strength, you know, nothing sort of hostile about that, but just where we can hold a boundary, say. But yeah, to feel the feet on the ground can be a real way of finding that kind of clarity of communication. When I was learning to teach inquiry for mindfulness-based approaches, and one of my teachers of that was Trish Bartley, as some of you may have trained with Trish. But whenever we were doing inquiry, she always used to say, "Did you have your feet on the floor?" Did you have your feet on the floor? Did you have your feet on the floor? Which became, a sort of catchphrase. But I found that really interesting, because she wasn't necessarily saying, did you ask them a follow-up question, or did you reflect what they said, or did you pause in silence? And all of those questions could also be good. But I think her point was, were you feeling your own sense of embodied presence? It's not a technique-based way of doing that inquiry. Then it's if you feel your own sense, okay, I'm here, I'm present in the body, then we can find ways to respond to what people on the course are bringing. So, in the Sutta itself, in the discourse, it talks about many different ways we can practice mindfulness of body. One of the ways is to be mindful of the breath. Obviously, where is the breath happening? The breath is happening in the body. And as Jenny mentioned, for some people, sometimes the breath is not such a helpful anchor. And if that's the case, again, really knowing that it's simply a skillful means. If other ways of anchoring the attention are more skillful for you, feeling the body on the ground, feeling the seat, the hands, sounds can also be a skillful anchor. So we often talk about the breath, but it's not the only way we can ground our attention. And all sorts of different ways we can be with the breath. We can be with the breath in the belly, we can be with the breath in the chest area, and we can have the sense at times of the whole body breathing, and widening out to this feeling of the whole body breathing, breathing in the midst of all else that's there. The sutta also says we can be mindful of postures when we're standing, walking, seated, and lying down. So all of those postures are places we can practice mindfulness. So again, that's a lovely reason why we do the walking meditation. And when at the beginning of the practice of the walking meditation we stand, and as I mentioned, you can also stand in here at times. It's very helpful not to associate being present, being aware, being curious with a particular posture, like, oh, I can do that when I'm sitting here cross-legged, but then what about the rest of my time? And one way of practicing with the postures is to really notice these transitions from one posture to the next. Be aware of what that's like. One thing I quite often like to do, and you might like to explore that on this retreat, is when you come out of a sitting posture, really pay attention to that process of getting up to stand and then walking out. Because habitually we can think, oh, it's finished now, and now I'm going to walking, and that whole kind of middle part is a bit lost. But actually, you know, if you stand, come to standing slowly, and then maybe just pause when you're standing. And again, feel the feet on the ground, allowing the knees to be soft, feeling the breath in the body. It can really help the practice to seem quite seamless. You can, just in those few moments, really connect and reconnect with how you felt in sitting. Yeah? And then you take that into what you do next. The sutta also talks about different activities as a place of mindfulness of the body. You know, eating, drinking, talking, being silent, carrying robes, carrying the bowl and things. So obviously that was for the nuns and the monks, but again we can think of our contemporary examples of that. You know, everything we might do, every activity in the day is an opportunity to practice mindfulness of body, to really be there as we're doing the activity. I find that mindfulness of activities is also a very good clue to the states of mind that are present. I remember once very distinctly noticing that I was doing some ironing, but I think I was doing what I might describe now as kind of angry ironing. I don't know if you've ever done that. But you're gripping the iron a bit too much, and the sort of arm is doing this with extra tension. And then I suddenly realized that there's more. You know, I don't need to do that. This thing's heavy, it's hot, the iron is doing most of the work, and you can do it in a different way. So it's really quite fascinating, actually, to explore the way in which you do activities, whether there's a sense of rush that comes in, whether there's extra tension that's there, whether it's possible to find some ease in the midst of activity. Something, again, I do when I'm at home, or often practice with, is, you know, if the kitchen needs to be tidied, there can be a little bit of me that might have the temptation, oh, let me just do that quickly, so I can go and sit and have a cup of tea, and then that'll be good. But then that kind of sense of speed and rush, you know, can actually create some agitation, and then, of course, when we do sit down to drink the tea, that agitation is still with us. But it's an interesting practice, before you do something like that, to pause, feel the feet on the ground, feel the breath in the body, and take that sense of presence into, say, cleaning up the kitchen. Doesn't mean you have to do it super slowly, but it does mean you're not kind of postponing life. It's not, I've just got to get this out of the way, and then, okay, what's it like to do this? I had one of my most memorable meditation experiences here at Gaia House, emptying the food. You know, the waste food, I don't know if anybody's had that job in the kitchen. But at that time, there was quite a momentum of mindfulness, and I remember thinking, I don't want to be anywhere else. Oh, there's the food, yeah, it doesn't smell so nice. It's okay, just present with that, you know. There was no sense of, oh, you know, I need to get this out of the way. And that's lovely for us, actually, because otherwise life can feel like we're continually postponing things for who knows when. I just need to get this done, and then I can do that, just need to get that done. And yeah. The sutta then also talks about being mindful of different parts of the body, like the hair, the skin, the teeth, the nails, the organs. And one possible interpretation of that is that that is a little bit like what we do in the body scan, when we bring the attention through different parts of the body and notice sensations or the absence of sensation in different parts of the body. You can also see this as a contemplation of our bodies as being composed of parts and part of nature. So there's something in this contemplation that makes our bodies feel less separate. It's not just here we are and then there's this big wide world around us that's somehow separate, but we really see that we're part of all that's around us. Can contemplate the impermanence of the body as we think of these parts. I mean, for instance, just and again on a very small scale, you know, when I cut my nails, I don't think, oh, there's a little bit of me now on the, and the nails are cut. And you see that there's parts of the body we tend to identify with more than others. Like if somebody says, could you send me a picture of yourself, you tend to send a picture of your face, you know. It'd be strange to send a picture of the sole of your foot or the back of your head, you know. But when I think, oh, there's me, it tends to be this little bit. Yeah. So when you contemplate this sense of the parts of the body, it's like, it can free us from over-identifying with the body. And that can lead, I think, to a wise relationship of care for the body. And I see this sense of caring for the body as being the middle way, actually, between, on the one hand, an obsession around the body, and again, this is very much around in our culture, isn't it? This sort of sense of needing to have the right kind of body according to someone else's standards, and all of the pressure and stress that can be around that. But neither is mindfulness of the body a sense of neglecting the body. So it's this middle way where we can be, acknowledge this body as part of nature, and then we can take care. There's also a contemplation on the elements. This is earth, water, fire and air. And again, there could be many different understandings of what this means or why this is there. But this is quite an ancient way of thinking about all that's around us as being composed of these different elements. And we don't have to say, oh right, this is definitely the case, there are these four elements. But we can see it as a skillful approach, really, to our experience, a skillful framework. And one of the things it does, again, is reinforces this sense of connection with all that's around us. So the bones in the body are like the earth element that we would see around us in the stones and the tree trunks and things. Yeah? The fluids in the body, like blood or saliva, would be like the water element, you know, so like the rivers and the streams and the rain. The heat in the body is like the fire element, you know, the heat of digestion, like the fire outside. And of course the breath there is the air element. So this way of contemplating the body in terms of elements, again, can really enforce this sense that we're connected with all that's around us, part of nature. Same processes we see around us, we see within the body. And the final element is also contemplation of a dead body. And again, you might think, well, why is that there? It's also interesting, by the way, when we look at these connections with what has come across to the mindfulness-based approaches, but also to notice what hasn't. And this is one thing that's not there, so certainly not explicitly. But there is a contemplation of mindfulness of body on mortality. And that's not in any way designed to make us feel despairing or depressed or morbid. For me, I mean, this particular language isn't quite in the text, but this, for me, it brings up a sense of the preciousness of life, actually. You know, those times when we feel, we can lose that sense, that we're just sort of in that taken for granted mode that I mentioned yesterday. We're just kind of trundling along, and but actually remembering our own and others' mortality can really bring forth that question, and therefore what really matters? What do I really want to do? How would I like to live? It can bring forth a sense of vibrancy, a sense of, I really care how I am today, how I am in this moment. So there are many aspects to this mindfulness of body. Breath, postures, activities, parts of the body, elements, and contemplation of mortality as well. And very practically, how we tend to practice, again, is this is more familiar, I imagine, to almost all of you, different ways of practicing with it. I think later in the retreat we will do a seated body scan practice, which is one way of practicing with this. But in a moment I'm going to guide us through a practice where we'll be with the ground, the seat, the breath, the ground, the attention, and then widen to a sense of the whole body, and then notice the particular sensations that draw the attention. So this is another way of practicing with this, as we include the body sensations more and more in our practice. And then of course we notice all kinds of things about those sensations. We notice that they change. We start to notice our relationship to them. We start to notice whether they're pleasant, unpleasant, neither. And other aspects of the practice begin to unfold as we pay attention to these sensations. Good. So let's take just maybe a minute or two, if you wanted to stand and stretch, move in any way that feels helpful for you, just to shift the posture. When you feel ready, beginning to find your seat. arriving in the body and finding the posture where there can be a sense of being upright alongside a sense of ease. And gently exploring the combination of these qualities, being upright, being at ease. Again, checking in with your experience, the thoughts and feelings that are present. How are things right now? Maybe similar to how they were earlier, or maybe different things are around. Noticing how these things change. And then allowing the attention to come into the body and to move down in the body, sensing the legs and the feet, how does it feel right now to be in contact with the ground? So if you're in a chair, the soles of the feet really planted, connected with the ground. Or if you're on the floor, the legs. Beginning to notice the sensations of contact. Maybe a sense of the pressure in some areas, tingling, temperature. Sometimes the image of a tree is useful. The sense of a tree with its roots that go deep down into the earth. And those deep roots support it to be steady in the midst of the changing weather. And so too, feeling the legs, the feet, ground. This contact, connection with the earth. Letting the sense of the ground be there in the background of awareness. And really taking your seat here and now. So just as the Buddha took his seat underneath that tree, can take our seat here and now, seat of awareness. allowing the attention to come into the body, arrive into the seat. And as we settle into the posture, checking in with other parts of the body too. So noticing the hands. How do the hands feel right now? Fingers and thumbs, backs of the hands, the palms. Very gentle intention to allow the hands to be at ease. And then noticing the shoulders, giving some attention to the shoulders. The left shoulder and the right shoulder. Noticing areas of tension, perhaps, maybe areas of ease. Being aware of the face. Very gentle intention to release any frown. To let those muscles around the eyes be soft, be at ease. To notice the jaw. From here, widening out to the sense of the whole of the body, all the way from the feet to the top of the head, present with the whole body. And sometimes there can also be a sense of the space around the body. Within this awareness of the whole body, finding a particular anchor for the awareness. maybe the contact with the ground or the seat, maybe the hands. Or if it feels okay, feeling the breath in the body, the rhythm of breathing. Allowing the attention just to rest with the breath, with the anchor point in the body. This is a place to come back to return to. Place to come home to. Giving some attention to those moments when you notice the mind is drawn away from the breath and body. Thoughts and stories, plans and memories. Drawing the attention. Seeing how it is to really let in, it's okay. It's okay. Really sensing that this is simply a tendency of our minds. It's what our minds tend to do. So from that sense of okay, we then really gently and patiently shift the attention into the body, into the breath. So in this way, mindfulness of body, of breath, comes a way to find steadiness in the midst of it. then now if particular body sensations draw the attention, spending some time with those, really exploring them with the awareness. Do they stay the same? Do they change? Where do they begin? Where do they end? Times it can be skillful to feel or imagine you can send the breath to those sensations. Really breathing into them. And after a while, or when those sensations fade, simply returning to the anchor point. Body and breath. So in this way, beginning to open the awareness to include the sensations that come and go. Letting them be part of the practice. Being really gentle and patient as you come back to the body and breath, including this gentle curiosity about the sensations that come and go, breathing with them. Continuing to practice in this way as we settle more deeply into the silence.
Thank you for listening. To learn how you can support the teachers and Dharma Seed, please visit dharmaseed.org/donate.